There are 15 participants in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Good morning. Story County Board of Supervisors meeting on April 21st, 2020. I will call the meeting to order at 10:01 a.m. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everybody. I'm first going to ask who we have on the call, and who we have here in the public meeting room is Supervisors Lisa Heddens, myself, Lois Olson, Shelley Belisle, Treasurer Ted Rasmussen, and Auditor Lucy Martin. And can we please hear who's on the call?
Probably all muted.
Brett McClay.
Okay, I got Brett.
Noel.
McClatchy.
Connie Torstall.
Joby Brogdon.
Joby.
Leanne Harder.
Leanne.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Alyssa.
I got Leanne, Alyssa. Who is the next person?
Ethan Anderson.
Hi, Ethan. And anybody else?
Barb Steinbeck.
I've got Barb.
Darren Moon.
Hi, Darren. Anybody else?
Jerry Moore.
Sandra.
Jerry Moore. Sandra King. Anybody else on?
Tammy Carter.
Tammy. Todd. Anybody else on?
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
This is Ellen Heffron, Connor Farms.
Can you say your name again?
Ellen McEachran from Connor Farms.
Thank you. Anybody else on the line?
Dustin Ingram's here.
Dustin? Anybody else? Who else just joined the call, please? Okay, we'll go ahead. The next thing on the agenda is a statement explaining why a meeting in person is impossible or impractical for closed session 21.81. And it's obviously because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the strong recommendations of not having more than 10 people, or I guess more than that now, not having more than 10 people in a public gathering to slow the spread. So the meeting is hello? Excuse me, the meeting is being held by conference call. The two supervisors are here in the public meeting room. The other two supervisors are in the public meeting room as well as myself. But access to the public is through conference call.
Text messages.
And text messages, yes. There is a number on the agenda also for text messages. So I would entertain a motion for adoption of the agenda.
So moved. This is Laura Olson.
Second, Lisa Heddens.
Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda's adopted. Next is updates on COVID-19. Do we have any urgent staff updates? Anything that we should hear now? Hearing none, do the supervisors have any updates they want to give at this time?
No.
No. I have a request for Todd. Todd? You had told us as we'd begun discussing COVID-19 that there was an estimate that 40% of the population would be exposed or get it. And I was just wondering if you could provide for us, maybe at the CCMT or at the Friday meeting, any estimates about how much of the population is expected to get it.
Did you hear the request, Todd?
You guys are cutting in and out really bad. I think it was something about the 40%. Originally that was.
Loris asked if you would give an update either tomorrow at the CCMT or at the Friday meeting about that issue.
Yeah, I can. That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, it's cutting out on this end, too. I don't know what we can do about it, so we'll just try to talk loudly. The next agenda item is items brought before the board with requests for immediate action, and we have none. So we will go to public comment number one, comment period for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Do we have any text messages? Do we have anybody on the call who would like to address a topic that's on today's agenda?
I don't see any coming up on my new computer. I will dash back just a minute to check and grab my phone, too. It's supposed to come to my computer.
Okay. Okay, I'll close public comment session number one. And I'm going to skip item nine now because Travis Squires is going to call in at 10:15. And it's about 10:07 right now. So we'll come back to item number nine. Item 10, agency reports. We have a quarterly report submitted by Veterans Affairs Director. So we can review that, and Brett will get to you if we have any questions then. We also have a report from ChildServe and supervisors. Are there any comments on either of the reports before we go on?
None from me as well.
Okay. Then we will go to consideration of minutes. We have two sets of minutes, the April 10th special meeting minutes and the April 14th regular meeting minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there any additions, corrections? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of these two meetings.
So moved. Second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Minutes are approved. Next, we'll go to personnel actions. I would entertain a motion for approval of personnel actions as listed.
This is Laura. I so move as presented.
Lisa, second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Personnel actions are approved. Then the consent agenda. Any issues on the consent agenda, board?
I would just like to pull item six just for a comment of clarity.
Alyssa, are you on the phone?
Yes, sorry, I had to.
Okay.
I mute myself.
So Laura has a question.
I don't. It's a comment of clarity when we get to that. Normally we'd approve the rest of them and then have the comment of clarity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I would recommend, or I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda, except for item six.
This is Lisa. So moved.
Laura, second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Consent agenda approved, except for item six. Now your comment on item six.
Well, I just, since we had originally addressed this as a full agenda item rather than consent, I just thought it was important just to pull it to note that there was a change. It was to the employee's favors who might accept this option, but I just felt it was important that we note in the minutes, because sometimes as people go back through minutes, they might not catch it unless we made a note. That's it. Don't even need Alyssa unless she wants to explain, but I just wanted to note that it had moved to consent for the change.
Okay. Then there's nothing. No questions. Okay.
No.
I would entertain a motion for approval of revised AVISA's vision renewal rates.
I so move. This is Laura.
Lisa, second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye.
Approved.
We'll go on. Oh, let's see. Well, I'm just thinking we've got 5 minutes till Travis is going to be on the phone. So I'm a little concerned about starting the 15, the additional items on the residential parcel subdivision, unless Jerry, you think that's going to be pretty quick?
I can give a brief update.
Why don't you give a brief update? See if we can do this in 5 minutes. We have the materials, and I think we've already had an opportunity to review them. Everybody's nodding. We've had an opportunity. So let's start with it anyway.
This is a residential parcel subdivision. We're asking the Board of Supervisors to take action on Resolution 20-87. It's case number SUV-04-20, and it's Rasmussen Acres. The property owners are Charles and Mary Rasmussen, and they reside at 17257 680th Avenue. They're located about 5 to 6 miles northeast of Nevada. And it's a 39-acre parcel, existing farmstead, and their goal is to divide their farmstead once into two separate parcels to create a new parcel, which would be about 4 acres, to accommodate a new dwelling for their son, who assists with their farming operation. So the first lot would contain the existing dwelling, outbuildings, and the corn cribs, and much of the pasture ground. It would be about 35 acres or just less than 35 acres. The second
Travis Squares.
Travis, we're in the middle. This is Linda Merkin. We're doing another item right now, which I think we can get done in a couple of minutes. Can you hold on?
Yeah, that's no problem. I just wanted to be here on time.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Jerry, I'm sorry. Please continue.
Yeah, no problem. Proposed that lot 2 then would be located in the southeast portion of that 39-acre parcel. It would contain about 4 acres, and again, it would accommodate the new dwelling for the property owner's son. The area is, for the most part, surrounded by agricultural land, ranging from 12 acres to 38-acre parcels. There's about 5 single-family dwellings within a quarter mile. 9 of those dwellings within a quarter mile exceed the 35-acre minimum lot size and could accommodate a single-family dwelling. We did route the subdivision to other departments here at the county for review, and a couple of comments that were made that are worth noting are that a new access entrance permit would be required to be applied from the Engineering Secondary Roads Department. And they will be extending the Rural Water, which is Iowa Regional Utilities Association. They'll be extending the main about a quarter of a mile north to this proposed lot 2. We did send notices last week, and to date we have not heard any comments from the adjacent landowners. We sent those notices to all landowners within a quarter of a mile of the property. And 4 items to consider in evaluating the residential parcel subdivision is, again, this would be a division once into two to create a separate parcel for a new dwelling. The proposed new dwelling would take up about 10% of that 39-acre parcel. No land would be removed from row crop production. And again, as I said, most of the land is in pasture ground that they use for their cattle operation. And then, as I mentioned, the primary purpose is to create a new lot for their son who assists with the farming operation. And then if this is approved by the board, no additional divisions would be permitted. And so with that, planning staff is asking the Board of Supervisors to approve alternative number 1, which would be to approve Resolution 20-87, the residential parcel subdivision, and it's Rasmussen Acres, and again, case number SUB-04-20. And I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Board, are there any questions for Jerry?
Jerry, this is Lisa. Just a clarification. You said that if the board approved, you said no additional parcels would be split. Is that what I heard you say?
That's correct.
Okay. It's kind of breaking up here. That's why I wanted to make sure I did hear that correctly. Thank you.
This is Loris. I have no questions. Once again, this is a straightforward subdivision to create one separate outlot or lot to build a house. I don't know if, I'm going to just mention that I believe that this person has a relationship with our treasurer just so that we get everything out on the table, okay? But I don't see that as being any way as pro or con against this. Just I always like to reveal when they're in a relationship.
They can hear it through now.
Okay. Yeah, I can't breathe. So I have a question.
Okay. Any other questions? Is there anybody on the line who has any questions or comments? If you're not speaking, would you mute your phones, please? Okay, I'm not hearing any questions or comments. I would entertain a motion for approval of resolution number 20.87.
This is Lisa. So moved.
Loris, seconds.
Any further discussion? If not, Hedden?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Resolution approved. Okay, now Travis. Okay, thank you very much, Jerry. Now we will go back to item number 9. Review of proposals received in consideration of resolution 20.88 for the GO bond improvement
via 21
series 2020. Travis Squire, we've received your materials, so would you please lead us through them?
Yes, thank you very much. Yesterday afternoon, we were collecting investor feedback for potential proposals for the $3 million general obligation road improvement bond. I have a presentation that the first few pages are just the same as what I presented a few weeks back. When you get to page 5 of the presentation, starts the section 2 financial options for the county. And on page 6, there's a proposal summary. So I orient the board members to the proposal summary. As discussed at the meeting back in March, I think it's the 24th, we chose to go out to bid with two options for the county to consider in terms of repayment. A 10-year option and a 12-year option, so option 1 and option 2. For both options, we received bids from Zions Bank, Key Government Finance, Capital One, Sterling National Bank. And on the 10-year option, we also had a proposal from First National Bank in Ames. You can see from the analysis on the 10-year option, First National Bank is low at a 1.6 with a call date of June 1 of 2027. The second place bid is Zions Bank out of Salt Lake City, and they're at a 1.9%, which is a little over $40,000 of additional interest cost. And but they did have a feature that would make the bonds callable any time, meaning that you could prepay them without penalty or restructure. Then the other bids were 1.95, 2.15, and 2.21. On the 12-year proposals, Zions Bank was low at a 2.02, once again, callable anytime, and then the 2.07%. Key 2.28 from Capital One and 2.29 from Sterling National Bank. In terms of comparing between option 1 and option 2, meaning the 10-year or the 12-year, ultimately that does become the board's prerogative to select either of those options. If there is a strong preference for an anytime call feature, you can take that into consideration. I think the thing that I would add that might go against that is just recalling that this is what I call phase one of the county road improvement projects, with phase two to be completed at a to be determined later date, depending on how those projects play out in timing. So really selecting either the 10 or the 12-year option is going to give the county flexibility with respect to issuing the additional debt. It's likely that given where your levy rates are right now, if phase two is delayed for multiple years, you may wish to be able to pay off some of your debt early. Just keeping in mind that if you were to select the First National Bank that has a different call date, you would simply have to set money aside into an escrow account ahead of the call date, and you would not be able to realize savings right away. However, on the option one 10-year proposals, there is about $40,000 worth of interest cost differential between those proposals. In terms of what those scenarios would look like after they're resized, have your first year's payment fit within your levy constraints that you have set in place, fiscal 2021. You can see repayment schedules on page 7 and page 8 for the $3 million portion of the road improvement projects. So, are there questions about option one versus two and perhaps the 2027 call date versus the anytime call?
Hi, Travis. This is Supervisor Olson. Good morning. So I'm just looking at the numbers now. The information was not sent out until about a couple of minutes before 9 o'clock this morning, and I try not to read stuff like this while I'm driving. So
that's fine. Yeah, we just got proposals late yesterday afternoon.
So I'm on page 7 here, and this would be the First National Bank proposal with the full term being the 10-year term, and there could be a call in 2027. And if I'm looking at this about the repayment schedule here, it would appear that even if we got called in 2027 for the entire rest of the amount, the repayment schedule is such that we'd be down to only about $750,000 on the early recall. Is that correct?
Yeah, the only correction I'll make is that the call option is the county's option, not the bank's option.
Thank you very much.
This gives you the option to call the bonds.
Okay. All right. Thank you. In that case, I have no questions then.
So,
thank you.
This is Linda Merkin. There, with First National, there's no other early payment options like a prepayment penalty or anything. It's just 2027 would be the earliest we could pay it off in full.
The mechanism for you would be that if you wanted to put money aside to pay off early, you could still do so. The mechanism for doing that would be that if you chose to levy an additional $250,000 to begin paying it off early, that money would then be invested until 2027. And then at that point, you would take the money and pay off the bonds.
Okay, so
there's no quote-unquote penalty for paying it off early. You would have to go through the escrow process of eliminating the debt.
That was my only question. Thank you.
Again, I think both option one and two provide you with the ability going forward to structure the rest of the debt without dealing with the tax rate increases.
Both our auditor and our treasurer are here, so I would ask them if they had any comments.
That was going to be my only comment, to see if they had any comments.
You beat me to it. Tell us what you'd like. Scott, Lucy, Ted? Okay.
We're not going to get the discount then.
Right.
You know, with what's going on.
Right.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. Entertain motion.
I would move that we go with option one, which is with First National Bank of Ames, a local bank, at the, now I have to scroll back to look at the rate of interest here, at the interest rate of 1.60% and a final maturity in 2030. And we would bond for the $3 million.
I'll second. I want to make sure that you said that correctly.
I got it.
And I'm going to assume that that motion would include approval of resolution
20.88. Yeah. Thank you. For the friendly amendment.
Yeah. If you want to make the motion to accept option one and then do a separate motion to approve the resolution.
Okay. We'll do it that way then.
So
it's not amended yet.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Kevin?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Motion is approved. Now I would entertain a motion to approve resolution 20-88.
This is Lisa. So moved. Laura, second.
Any further discussion? Kevin?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Resolution is approved. Thank you. Travis, thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations. This was a really good result by your local bank to submit an aggressive proposal. So we're always pleased when we see that happening. And this was, you know, by comparison, we had, you know, bids for an Iowa school district last week on an 8-year financing that had a 1.65% rate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, clearly a very nice proposal submitted by your local bank.
Yes. Good news for the taxpayers of Story County also. Thank you very much.
Correct.
Now we'll
go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll go on to additional items 15. Item 2, discussion and consideration of implementing a hiring freeze. Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning, board members.
Good morning.
Last Tuesday at the board meeting, it was brought up about considering or having something in place in case the county would need to implement a hiring freeze. So we did develop a policy, and that includes a exemption to the hiring freeze that could be approved by the Board of Supervisors. Just to point out a couple things, I did not put an effective date. I don't know if the board is looking at a hiring freeze effective now, if they just want to be prepared as we start to get more information about where our revenues are going to be. And the other thing is, I did put in this policy that if a department or office has offered the position, that this would not affect those. So at the point, if the board decides to implement the hiring freeze, everything that's been offered, accepted, that might have a start date after, it does not have to go through the exemption process.
Alyssa, this is Laura. Could you tell us, please, how many offers have been extended that have not been accepted or that are already in the process?
I know, I believe that many counties on the phone, there have been a few conditional offers sent out for the sheriff's office. The other ones that I'm aware of would be we have some interns starting and summer help starting the middle of May. So they've already been offered, accepted, all the background screens, everything has been done. Approved by the board, the action forms have already gone through. Their start date just isn't until May, and we've been pushing those back even further because of the situation we're in. So we still have a few action forms to go through because we are waiting for definite hire dates. But those are the ones I didn't prepare a spreadsheet with all that are out there. I apologize.
Okay.
That didn't cross my mind.
Yeah. So if you could, if I could clarify.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to clarify what you said, first of all, with the interns. So you said they're still out there. So what I'm really asking is that then for the interns at LIS, at least, that all of the offers have been made. Did I understand some have been accepted, some we're still waiting on?
They've been accepted. We haven't finalized the actual start date because
Okay.
we are waiting. Specifically for HR, we're kind of waiting to see when we're back in the office.
Okay.
And then have that start date be once we're back at work, in the office and working, if that makes sense.
It does. And then
so they've already accepted. They've already accepted. We just need to negotiate that higher date.
I'll turn over to Lisa because she's got a question.
This is Noel, and I wrote up the spreadsheet that I've been working on for summer help for conservation and then also secondary roads. So there's an additional 20, including conservation and secondary roads, that have had offers out to them and have been accepted and have gone through the pre-claim process.
And these are all temporary, they're summer health employees, that's right? Okay.
Correct. There is one for conservation that the pre-employment process is on hold because he lives out of state, but he would be a full-time position for conservation.
Do you want to add?
Can you clarify that one, Noelle?
Sure. So there was a position open in conservation that an individual took a promotion, and so then there was a vacancy, and the trails and natural resource position is what would be filled. That position has been, an offer has gone out for that position.
Okay.
The state that individual lives in is in a shelter in place, so we're not able to do the pre-employment screening until that is lifted.
When did that offer go out, please?
When did the offer go out?
Yeah.
Let me look at my email here. Got it. I received an email on April 1st.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to know this before we start talking about this.
So, and then Noelle or Alyssa, either one of you. So I heard you say there were several interns. Did I hear you say that there was full-time individuals hired to the sheriff's office and then in another department as well? I'm sorry, it's just breaking up here. It's hard to hear exactly what you're saying.
Sure. The board approved a cook to start in the sheriff's office on the agenda today.
Okay.
And then, Connie, can you elaborate on the conditional offers that you have that the sheriff's office has out?
Yes. Lisa, this is Connie. We have three conditional offers. We have been down three positions in the jail prior to March 15th. We do have conditional offers out there. We're doing the final stages now. We're hoping to get them in this week to have a firm offer placed. We also just received notice from another detention officer that he has given his resignation letter to be effective the middle of May, so that would make us down one additional person.
So this is Laura, Connie, and I just want to restate it to make sure that my thinking is in line here. These are all positions that have been vacant prior to the start of the COVID-19 era and do not include any that we might have discussed for the fiscal year 21 budget, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
I don't either.
Oh.
Can I ask?
Sure.
Sorry, this is Lucy, and I was out of the room at the beginning of the discussion, so I was reprinting a resolution, but I need to hire my election technician for the upcoming June primary. I'm planning on rehiring people that have worked with us before, but I need them to both test the machines, pack the supplies, and also process voters that we're going to have in here starting on May 4th. So, I mean, that's an essential service that I cannot delay. So, I'm just putting that out there. That's probably about six individuals.
My thought on that is if we approve this today and we do immediate hire freeze, there is an exemption form, and,
okay.
And I don't think we want to, if we're looking at a policy in front of us, to make exemptions to the policy.
Okay, just as long as I know I can get an exemption
right.
Is what I'm asking.
You can request an exemption as an essential service. And,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have questions?
No.
So this is Loris, and I'll follow up with Lucy on that. Normally when we put a new policy out, we have a 7-day comment period, but then that would bring this back for final approval in an entirely another week. So I'm hoping that, especially based on Lucy needing to rapidly submit an exemption form, I'm hoping that as we go forward on this that we will include in our motions that there be no 7-day review, or leave it out, that just we're passing whatever we do today is what we're doing. Thank you.
Good point.
Morris, it's Alyssa, and we did not do a 7-day review for the temporary employment policy due to COVID, so that would be right in line. This policy is due to COVID. It would be the same as that. So I think you would be just fine waiving that 7-day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions or comments, or Alyssa, any final things you'd like to say before we entertain a motion?
No, I do want to mention I did have legal review the policy, as we always do.
Great. Thank you. And I want to thank you for your quick work on putting this together. If there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
This is Lisa. I move that we approve the hiring freeze policy draft that has as presented.
I second that, Laura.
Okay, and as just an item of discussion, are you both in doing that? Your intent is that we implement the hiring freeze today?
It is mine. I would add that to as a friendly amendment effective today.
I approve that. I would support that friendly amendment.
Okay. And as we discussed, and we don't have to put it in the motion, but there will not be a 7-day review period due to COVID-19. So, let's see. Loris, was this your motion? No, it was your motion. I'm sorry. Heddens?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Policy is approved. We'll go on to
Linda, can I just ask one thing? I will update this so that it doesn't say draft, but the effective date.
Thank you.
Would the board like me to send it out to department heads, or would the board like?
Don't you normally send them out, Alyssa? Alyssa, don't you normally send policies out?
Yes, I did. I just want to make sure that's how you want this one, since the board implemented a hiring freeze.
Fine.
If the board's okay, I'll go ahead and send that out.
Please do.
After I get it all updated.
So I would like to, you know me, I'm always the editor, okay? Just in the first paragraph, general policy statement, where you have the comma after elected officials, we either need to get rid of that comma or we need to add a comma behind supervisors. Your choice. Either way. Thanks.
All right, I'll get that taken care of.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda, we have department reports. We have none listed, nor do we have other reports. Do any of the supervisors, does anybody else want to suggest, are there some upcoming agenda items that we should note at this time?
I don't at this particular time.
No, not at this time. However, I am going to ask, Jerry Moore, are you still on there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Ethan, I assume you're still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And the reason I'm doing it here is, do we have any upcoming agenda items? The supervisors and Jerry have received a communication from an owner of one of our mobile home parks, Mr. Gillum, and he's asked for extended time, is how I looked at the request, to reduce the number of spaces in his mobile home park based upon the fact that his tenants are not paying rent. A lot of them didn't pay in March, and he's expecting even worse revenues in April. His comment being he can't afford to move out the three, I believe it's three extra mobile homes. So I was just wanting to know that Jerry and Ethan, you had been communicating on this, and there's a possibility, maybe, of it coming to us as the Board of Supervisors to make that call based upon advice from legal, based upon advice from Jerry, and how many other enforcements we might have. I mean, there would be some issues here, but I think it's worth at least the background work to be done given the extraordinary situation we're in. So I guess my questions for Jerry or Ethan, or my request, if the other two board members are on board with it, is just to have you look into this about what would be the pros and cons of doing this.
Yeah, happy to do so. Jerry and I have been communicating over email, and we'll continue to do so if it's appropriate. Maybe we'll come to the board with a closed session discussion about matters that are presently in litigation that could be litigation.
Okay.
If we're going to go to extending the deadline or have that discussion. But yeah, I'll work with Jerry and we'll bring it back to the board.
Thank you. I see not. I see at least
no, 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 no.
Yeah, no, I think you continuing to look into this is Lisa, Jerry, and Ethan, and providing us at least some updated information would be helpful for us, because we have gotten calls and emails, and being that there is a legal implication, I would prefer to have your guidance on anything before doing any type of response.
Yes, and now all I've been doing when I've been getting voicemail messages or emails is sending them on to Ethan because of the issue that was just discussed. And I'm not talking with Mr. Gillum.
I've not responded. Yep, I've not either.
Okay.
Nothing more from me.
Then we will go on to public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Is there anybody for a comment in public forum number two? Hearing nobody, I will close the public forum. We will go on to liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements from the supervisors.
This is Lisa. So I provided both the supervisors with some information. I emailed you and also gave you a hard copy. I was participated on the ISAC conference call last Friday. It did have the governor on for a portion of it, as well as one of her staff people, Joel. I cannot think of Joel's last name right at the moment. Additionally, it had Sarah Reister and Kelly Garcia that were on as well. So I provided you just some updated notes. Much of the discussion were questions that were sent must have been sent into Bill Peterson. I was having a hard time logging into the webinar itself to be able to type in my question, so I was just listening in the listening mode. But they did allow us to submit questions to ISAC that they were then going to send out to the appropriate head, either the governor or DHS or whatever, to provide more feedback, and that they will be posting those questions and responses on their website. And then if you want to listen to the webinar, it is on the I believe it's up on their website at this particular time. It was interesting, a lot of what the governor had to say and Sarah Reister were kind of reiterating what had happened at the governor's press conference earlier in the day. So not as much new there, and a lot of questions surrounded what potential funding to the CARES Act, how that might be coming through the state and get delineated out to counties or to agencies within the state. And their response was, the governor's response was still that they are waiting for federal guidance. They don't have that guidance yet, and they would prefer to wait. Same with DHS, they would prefer to wait to have the guidance than to get caught where they distribute funds and then find out they did it incorrectly and then the state's having to pay back dollars. So that was the one thing that they discussed there. I was on a WebEx meeting yesterday, figured out how to do that on my iPad for, I have an upcoming CICS meeting on Thursday, and so it just gives an opportunity, since we're all working remotely, to have some face-to-face discussions and going over kind of the agenda so that I'm just prepared for the meeting on Thursday. I do have on our calendar for tomorrow that we have a drainage district meeting at 8:30 a.m. and then the CCMT meeting after that.
The CCMT is at 10. I've got it on my calendar twice. I think somebody sent out a 9 o'clock invitation, but it's
10 o'clock, right. Yep. I might have it on at 9 o'clock, too. Right. It is at 10 o'clock.
We meet at 10.
Right. And then I do have on the agenda, if we have things for our agenda for this Friday, for a Board of Supervisors meeting for this particular Friday. I also saw that there is a an ISAC or NACO call email, and so I am going to RSVP after this and would like to listen in on that, since I've been trying to do as many of those as I can. So
is that one on Friday with Grassley?
No, there is one that came out today that I just saw. There's one this afternoon. 4 p.m. Eastern time. It's with NACO for a call on COVID-19 response efforts featuring the U.S. Secretary of Labor, Eugenia Scalia.
Good. Yeah, that was good. I'm assuming then that one of you will also do the Grassley one, right?
I haven't seen that one, but when...
I've got the Grassley one on my...
Okay. Since I did Ernst, and then we've got everybody covered.
Yep. I just missed that email.
I'll do
that
next call with Grassley.
Okay, super.
I've already sent it in. So,
anything else?
Nope.
Thank you. Okay, get ready for a couple minutes. Take a swig of coffee here, okay? We're going to start. I smiled under my mask about wanting to do something right so that the feds don't get upset. So we're going to start with the Workforce Investment and Opportunities Act, which you know that the state's having to redo. This is about some funds, Title I, which go for training like displaced workers, et cetera. So here's the latest update. The deadline is extended to September for the new 28Es to be signed. The draft of our region, or Region 11, is being run through the Polk County Attorney's Office now. Ethan, thank you for your work on the first, working with Heather and I for the first draft of it, okay? It's being submitted after the Polk County Attorney's Office is done with it. It's now being submitted to Department of Labor consultants for review because the 28Es submitted by two other regions have been rejected by the Department of Labor. Once the consultants say it's okay, it would be sent to the county attorneys of the 8 counties in our region. And Ethan, I assume that's going to go directly either from the Polk County Attorney's Office to you, or maybe it'll go out through Heather Garcia, the executive director. Two counties are still not certain they want to join, which means they will get no WIOA money allocated to their residents. It's still unclear whether if they choose not to join, whether that will screw up our money or not. The two are Dallas and Warren. Dallas and Warren are still citing CTAC experience as concern for their hesitancy in wanting to get back on board. Those hesitations, along with wanting a county auditor to be the fiscal agent and wanting someone who would be more likely to keep contracts with the current providers going and the workforce board appointments just the same, meaning don't rock the boat, they did decide to elect Steve Van Ork as the CLEO rather than me in February. I'm perfectly happy with that.
I just wish I had this all the time and with all those meetings back. And I told them that, is I'm fine with this. Which means now that the Polk County Auditor, the Warren County, the Polk County Auditor and the Jasper County Auditor are both discussing whether they want this contract or not. And now Warren has indicated an interest. The positive notes in all of this, other than I don't have to spend as much time on it anymore, is that all the contracts, current service contracts, have been extended. So there will be no gap in services to any of our residents, our constituents. Whew, I can take a breath off of that. I had to take one anyway. There. So that's the big update. Then moving forward, there's a Story County Housing Trust Fund Board meeting this afternoon. And the big item on the agenda is possibly awarding about $100,000 to two new construction projects and one rehab project, all of which are outside the regular scope of our two existing programs of rental assistance and owner-occupied repairs. One project is for a new five-unit home for Mainstream Lending, and the other is for a five-unit home for Friendship Art. Each one of those are asking for $47,000. Our other two programs, the award limits for rental assistance right now are $2,000 per person, and then it's about $6,000 roughly per each house rehab, owner-occupied house rehab. Now, to be fair, this is for new structure, so that you can't compare it one-on-one for rental assistance. The third project is for rehab at YSS's Rosedale Youth Shelter. And the number of people is higher, but we also know that everybody that will be served won't be a Story County resident. These are IFA funds. This is the use it or lose it principle in action, because these particular monies must be used by December 31st, 2020. If we don't, we have to give that money back, plus we will have a reduction in the monies that we've been allocated for the future. So even though we had great response to some of the owner-occupied, the call that we put out earlier, I mentioned, you know, a couple of different times here at the table and others, this is a debate, because this money can be shifted over to rental assistance. And my concern, I'll let you know what I'm going to be saying in the board meeting today, my concern is that we're going to get in September and October and November, if not sooner, requests from a lot more people for rental assistance. And the way the rental assistance program is structured is that if people have lost their jobs, they will then qualify income-wise to maybe get up to $2,000 rental assistance. So I'm concerned this money will be spent on these special projects and we won't have money available for our residents. Okay? The response I believe I'm going to get back, at least I've heard from our administrator of this program, is that, well, then we can just go into the next year's funding, because these are all two-year cycles that we can give out. So I just want to make you aware of that,
okay,
that this will be a kind of a difference in philosophy and where should the money go. So if you have any thoughts, let me know by 2 o'clock today.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You said that if there is a need in the fall for money for rental assistance, you can go to next year's.
Yes.
And I'm also hearing this is a use it or lose it, meaning if we don't spend this money, next year would be reduced by this amount.
Correct.
Therefore, I think I understand what you're saying, but I think in terms of the long term, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right. And I expect that these are the points I'm going to bring up. I expect that we will go ahead and approve it for these projects. I also expect, though, that we will be rewriting. We have to update our housing assistance plan every year. And the administrator already has called me, and we've made some notes, okay, about how we can in the future do more with market. We, you know, so I agree with you, Linda. I suspect it will be a yes for me. I just want to let you know what my concerns are here, so that it's full disclosure to everybody.
Yeah. I understand the concern. Also, it sounds like there's a way of dealing with it. Which is,
yeah.
And a way that protects our base for the long run.
Correct. Right.
Okay. Do you have any questions? No, no.
Okay. So then the rest of it, I'm going to listen on the Ames City Council workshop of the 2040 comprehensive plan. They're talking on land use designations tonight. Wednesday we have the Kupkov Herta. Thursday, and I'm pleased to note that there are no panic items on the agenda. The final award was $2.3 million. So every time we get an update, it's better. And we'll be discussing starting about what's the new model going forward that will allow this to be a sustainable service and still getting to all of the residents and meeting the various needs. And Story County will have the most varied needs and a lot of usage. I've got community and family resources meeting, nothing there. The jurisdictional update on Thursday. Friday morning, 7 a.m., the Ames Economic Development Commission has its board meeting. It'll be all of these are call-ins. It'll be the Iowa Business Council 2020 Competitive Dashboard. So I think they're looking at moving beyond COVID-19. If you guys, I know you're earlier risers than I am usually. And of course, we have the Board of Supervisors special meeting. And I'm done. Thank you for your time.
Let me just ask a question before I do my update.
Sure.
Are there any agenda items that anybody is planning for our special meeting on Friday?
None. I don't have any.
Alyssa, do you have any? Sandra? Anybody on the call?
This is Alyssa. I don't have any specific ones for Friday.
Okay. Let me just ask. If we don't have any, should we just not have that meeting? If we don't have any items?
Well,
I've got plenty of other things on my agenda for that day, and that's why I was wondering. We could do a very brief meeting just to see, but
my thought is...
Linda, this is Alyssa.
Yes.
Do you think anything will come up tomorrow in our CCMC meeting?
That's a good point. Let's leave it on the schedule for now and see if we have anything urgent coming up from CCMC.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Pretty much the same thing. Drainage district, CCMT tomorrow. Also, I will be taping a small piece for what the City of Ames is doing, a video that they're putting out weekly. I've been asked to speak about the county's role in emergency management and got some information from Keith Morgan. So I'm going to talk about the Emergency Management Commission and how that ties in all of the jurisdictions in the county for emergency planning. I have Story County Economic Development Group on Thursday morning, but I have a sense that that's something old that's been deleted.
Yeah, I had it too, and I was going to email
Destiny
through.
Still on? Don't hear him.
This is Leanne. I'm deleted that a while ago.
It's deleted, you say, Leanne? Should be deleted?
That's what my recognition is. I can follow up and let the board know.
Okay, thank you. And then...
This is Dustin Hill on mute, sorry. From my recollection, we did postpone the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Then we'll keep the special board meeting just for now. Iowa Story County College Access Network meeting also on Friday, and then the ISAC call with Senator Grassley. And I think that's probably it for the week for me. With nothing else to report. So does anybody have any last questions? If not, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I so move. Second.
Okay, Olson?
Aye.
Hedden?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks.